If you look on in the news, then there's this English article from the BBC about the food crisis talks set to begin. This food crisis that's been in the news for the past months, it's been brewing beneath the surface for much longer than that, and it's actually a perpetual issue since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. Here, envoys from 26 Latin American and Caribbean countries are meeting to talk about the rising cost of food. And then after that, they're going to meet with an international group Rome about the same subject. We have a real crisis. That crisis is really highlighted by the fact that the World Bank's announced that over the past 3 years, the price of food has risen by 83%. 83% means that in 3 years, more or less, you can say that the price of food has doubled. Considering that the earth hasn't charged anything anymore for having wheat growing out of it, or that apple trees haven't charged anymore for apples, naturally the question comes, why is food more expensive? One of the reasons it's more expensive is because the price of gas has gone up. What's gas got to do with it? Because all of the food that we eat, that's being harvested, planted, worked, all the aspects of agriculture by tractors, by machines. And the price of gas right now is at $135 a barrel, which is an inconceivable amount. Economists had predicted last year that the price of oil would in 2017, 10 years from now, cap off at around $100 a barrel. We're way beyond that now. And new reassessed or reevaluated assessments point to $200 a barrel in 2017. And of course, that's 10 years away. That would mean that right now they're saying that in the next 10 years, the food of price will at least double, but probably more. And of course, if the present day calculations are anything to go by, then you can bet that the calculations, these calculations will prove to be wrong, and food will not double, but it'll quadruple or quintuple, or you'll be lucky if there's food at all. And add to that the real craze for biofuels, which cuts down the amount of land for agriculture, for actually agriculture for human consumption. Again, the price of food and the availability of food, because price means availability, is also increasing. So in addition, there's of course the effect of global warming, that in some places frosts come in spring and kill off spring harvests. In some places it's too hot and there's not enough rain, which means that production is below average, if there's production at all. So this also contributes to world shortage. And then, of course, the latest big business for investors and speculators is to go into the food market. They want to make paper money out of food. So they buy up large quantities of food, they hoard it, despite the fact that people are starving, and then throw it on the market when the prices skyrocket even further. All around, these conditions pave way for a type of spiraling process, that higher food means higher wages. You need to, because if the price of food goes up, you need to make more money. To make more money means that the price of food continues to go up and up and up, and ultimately the whole thing implodes because it's a artificial system. Food costs nothing. Your paper money is actually worth nothing. And the relationship between the two gets completely obscured in the modern speculative economics of the world, where people still continue to place emphasis on consumer products, computers, telephones, microchips, flying around the world. 2 billion people next year are going to be flying to different parts of the world for their leisure and business, instead of actually concentrating on the real problems of life, which is what it is that we're going to eat. Wise people have warned us about this. The wisest person, Srila Prabhupada, has warned us of this as early as 40 years ago and continued to, that the main problem of life is to be able to solve the problem of eating. What will you eat tomorrow? We have a very good philosophy, Dehinosmin Jatadehe, Srimad Bhagavatam. We distribute books, or at least we should be distributing tons of books. We preach that we've got all the solution to the problems of life, but have you? Have you got the solution as to what you are going to be eating tomorrow? And if you're not, then you should. Because solving the eating problem is not something that happens one day to the next. It's not that if there's nothing to buy in Tesco's or Steinberg's or AB's, then all of a sudden you just move out to the country and tomorrow you start picking a harvest. Harvest takes a year, and that's when you know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, then you're really in trouble. So grow your own. Make sure you're growing on your own. This was Srila Prabhupada's desire, that we have farms and farming communities, that unless devotees are really contributing to a preaching effort, they should work together cooperatively on a farm, chant Hare Krishna, and make sure that they can feed themselves as well as feeding the devotees who are in the cities. Unfortunately, that doesn't really take place. It's much more convenient for us to go to a Tesco, to go to a nearby grocery shop and buy our groceries there, rather than having set up that type of process whereby we maintain our farming communities by buying produce from them, even at a higher price. Rather than seeing that higher price as being an investment, we see it as an inconvenience. But the price is going up, up, up. It's going beyond what the farm cost would be, and ultimately it's going to stop, and there will be no foodstuffs. And if you don't have a farm, then if you've got a garden, grow in your garden. Learn how to grow your own food, your own vegetables, your own fruits. It's amazing how little area it requires in order to grow one's own food. And if you don't have a garden, then do it on the roof of your house, do it in your patio, do it on your balcony. Grow food and learn how to cut back on your food bill, how to develop a green thumb, and how to at least supplement what you're purchasing by growing food. In different parts of the world, people are now spending 10% to 50% or 60% of their income on food. The picture that you see over here, or if you can't actually see it on the website, you can go onto the BBC's website, where Haitians are resorting to eating sun-baked clay biscuits. They take clay, they dry them in the sun, and they eat them. That's horrible. Unfortunately, they're not like Krishna, who can actually digest clay. They will get sick from that, and they will die. This present food crisis has placed 100 million people on starvation basis. It's just immediately caused such a world crisis, and another 800 million people are now struggling in order to be able to feed themselves. They're not starving, but they're struggling. That's 900 million people. That's 1 billion people. That's 15% of the world's population is immediately plunged into chaos by these rising prices. And the more the prices rise, the more the figures are going to rise. And one day you're going to be part of those statistics. So right now, statistics are very interesting numbers for Westerners to churn out, because it doesn't include them. But it will. And what will these hungry people do? Are they going to sit around and be hungry? No, they're going to encroach on their neighbors if their neighbors have more food than they do. And that's called war. This is what's happened in the past in the history, and this is what is going to be continually happening in the future. You can't eat your coins, you can't eat your dollar bills, you can't eat your bank balance, you can't eat your PhD diploma, you can't eat your computer, telephone, etc. What can you eat? You must solve this problem of what to eat. Is this a alarmist podcast? It's not meant to be alarmist. It's just emphasizing what Srila Prabhupada had said in the context of what's in the news. If it doesn't happen now, and we avoid this situation. It will happen in the future. It will happen in the future because that's what Srila Prabhupada said would happen. He said that people will leave the cities by the millions for lack of food, and they will come to our farms, and which means that they will also ravage the countryside for things to eat. That also is going to prove another problem of how to protect what you have to eat, but at least let's have something to protect. So, at least in some of the ways I mentioned above, just ensure that you're getting your hands dirty and that you're involved in the process of solving the food problem, and don't be overly dependent upon paycheck, money, cash, and other things, because ultimately we'll not be able to eat that. Hare Krishna.